coming up on Golf Today. Stop us if you've heard this before. Jon Rahm is loving his week at Torrey Pines, carding the best score on the South Course on day one, world number one in the zone, and hunting for more hardware in San Diego. And two other major champs are chasing a win in Dubai, Rory and Colin. We'll get you caught up on their play that you might have missed while you were sleeping. And the PGA Show picking up steam in Orlando. Do you need a new driver, ball, shirt, divot tool? You know you want it all. We have it all for you coming up on Golf Today.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet.
And earlier, Golf Today, Shane Bacon with Damon Hack. D, you mentioned golf clubs and balls at PGA Show week. What do you think the thing that golfers don't change as fast as they should change is in their bag? I've always kind of gone grips in this department. Seems like players could probably change their grips more often than they do.
I'm going to say shoes. I know you said bag, but I've seen some kind of funky shoes out there. Guys and gals don't want to kind of get some new shoes, new kicks. You know, I want to look good out there on the golf course. I think if you look good, you look sharp, and you clean, play a little bit better.
Mention the tougher side. Groups going out on the North Course and the South Course first couple of days here at the Farmers Insurance. You see some very impressive scores, D, on that South side on Wednesday. Billy Horschel, our leader, 9-under par. Michael Thompson just continues to grow that beard and continues to get low scores.
Yeah, apparently getting mistaken for a hockey player by some. And you mentioned the difference in the scores from the north and the south. This is typically how it plays out. You see that scoring average for the south, 72.78 compared to 69.1 on the north. 11 rounds in the 60s on the south, 41 rounds on the north. A low round, that's 63 from Billy Ho, and then that 66 from Jon Rahm on the south.
Was impressed with Jon Rahm. Obviously, Jon Rahm is a guy that loves this golf course and calls the area his favorite in the world. I want to talk first about Justin Thomas, considering the way he played yesterday, his lowest round on the South course. You know, he hasn't played this event much. He hadn't played since 2015, played in 14, played in 15, and then it's basically, you know, not been on the schedule for Justin Thomas over the last few years. Nice to see him comfortable on the golf course and nice to see him comfortable on the greens. And these are greens that are typically not the easiest to putt. To see those 15, 20 footers roll in, I know it's one day, I know it's one round, and we'll see where he finishes this, the kind of the end of the week. But I thought this was a big, big day for JT out there. It was a big day for Dustin. Of course, what we saw from Jon Rahm, I mean, Tiger did it. We'll see if Jon Rahm can kind of continue this trend of playing well here.
Glad you mentioned all three. One thing I've noticed in these featured groups, when you have the best players in the world all together, it doesn't always play out this way. One or two or sometimes all three struggle. These are three alpha males, Brahma bulls, you know, they kind of sometimes get lost in who they're playing with. That didn't happen yesterday for these three players. You know, 6-under, 4-under, 4-under, all three players played very well, exceedingly well on the South course, and they are right in the mix to win this golf tournament.
You've got three players that we talk a lot about, and you've got two players kind of searching for a year, and you've got one player hoping to continue the momentum, right? Yeah. Jon Rahm in 2021 was a big year, one we'll remember for a long time considering the major win. But Jon Rahm's trying to play better and win more golf tournaments. And you look at Dustin Johnson and JT, and I'd say 2021 were forgotten years for both those players. Yeah. Outside of the players' win for Justin Thomas, didn't have a great year, talked about it, admitted it himself. And then for Dustin, and we spoke on this yesterday, the consistency wasn't there. It wasn't an off year, if you will. It just wasn't a solid Dustin Johnson year. And I'm assuming Dustin is hoping to get back to what we typically seen from Dustin throughout most of his career.
Has to love how he started yesterday, considering the big questions that the South course at Torrey Pines asked. And looking at Justin Thomas also, having to exhibit patience when he is a bit impatient. He was not happy with his 2021, the Players' Championship win notwithstanding. And having Bones McKay on his bag on a golf course where Phil Mickelson had so much success in the early 2000s. I'm fascinated by Justin Thomas, and he talks about being less mechanical on the greens. And you said that's the most interesting part to you about his game. How will he be on the putting surfaces this season? Yesterday, he looked comfortable. He looked fantastic on Poana greens, which we know can get a little bit bumpy.
He's an athlete. You know, it's a little bit of like what we've talked about with Lexi starting this year, is just be athletic throughout the entire hole. Don't just be athletic on the tee. Don't just be athletic with iron play, be athletic on the greens as well. And when you watch Justin Thomas go about his business, and I continue to say this, he's got as many pitches as anybody out there, and probably more pitches. Some of the shots he can hit with fairway woods and some of the ways he can move the golf ball high, low, cuts, fades, draws, everything that he feels comfortable hitting, and especially when stuff's clicking. You know, Justin Thomas, again, is one of those players that we expect so much out of. It was nice to see the hot start. And there was plenty to talk about, but again, I think John Rahm kind of steals the show when we get to Torrey Pines coming off the U.S. Open. We'll see what he can do. Is it going to be kind of a slow start, you know, and just kind of warm up to the week? And that was not the case.
All three players, you have a current number one and two former number ones, and they all express themselves so differently in their pursuit for greatness. Dustin Johnson, nothing seems to bother him. John Rahm, emotes.
A lot of things can bother him.
Yeah, absolutely. And JT, probably somewhere in the middle. You know, he'll poke fun at himself saying he was number one in the world for 5 seconds, basically. But I think this is an important tournament. They're kind of seeing where they are with their game. You know, maybe some equipment changes. You know, a new caddy for Justin Thomas, as I mentioned. But what a great early test on this golf course alongside your peers, so you're going to be measuring yourself. This is not going to be the last time that we see John Rahm, Justin Thomas, and DJ together, whether it's going to be in a final group at some point on a Saturday or Sunday, or perhaps grouped together in a tournament down the road.
Shout out to the PGA Tour as well. This Wednesday start did not feel off, did not feel strange, did not feel weird. Got home, got to watch some of the golf, heard a lot of people on social media, you know, very, very interested in this Wednesday start, get a chance to watch some golf on a day you don't typically get golf. This many, you know, high-profile players, this big of an event, changing up the schedule. I hope this continues. Yeah. I hope we see a little bit more creativity in the scheduling, not so much fear on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. I mean, the world's changed. The world continues to change. We have TVs in our offices. We work from home. You can throw golf on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday now.
How smart of the PGA Tour to give a nod to the larger sports world and knowing that there's a couple of pretty big games on Sunday, but also taking advantage of the opportunity to highlight the APGA Tour.
Yes.
And some aspiring pros that are trying to chase the dreams themselves and can measure their games on Torrey North and South come the weekend. So I think it's a fantastic week. And listen, maybe I'm a California native, but seeing those pretty pictures, we're freezing our tuchuses off here in Connecticut. Man, what a postcard for golf, for the PGA Tour to see them on those beautiful Torrey Pines cliffs.
You don't want to see how many layers I have down
here. Oh, I know.
Multiple layers under the desk. Well, let's check out on the odds at the Farmers Insurance, courtesy of our pals at PointsBet. I mean, John Rahm, listen, I know the success here, but basically 2-1 now to win this thing.
Yeah, he shoots 66 on the south. You're like, wait a second. He's right there. I'm going to have to peek at that. I'm going to take a close look at that. Plus 250. I'm not saying I'm making any moves, but I'm looking at it, I'm just going to say.
Billy Horschel there at plus 1,200, our leader after 18 holes. And D, to me, the story of Wednesday.
Yeah.
Ryan Alford.
Yeah, I mentioned the APGA. Ryan Alford, 25 years of age from Shreveport, Louisiana. His PGA Tour debut, first time ever starting in the event. It's his first tee shot way, way to the left. But what does he do with his second from 176 yards? How about holing out for eagle? I mean, this is what a remarkable start for a young man who's dreaming of being with his buddy Sam Burns on the PGA Tour.
Had an up and down day, but you mentioned started with the eagle. This at the 10th. At this point, he was a couple over par. Struggled on the 4th. This at the par 4 10th. Oh. Just about another hole out for Ryan.
Gorgeous shot. You have to imagine the butterflies and the emotions going through his body as he's trying to go out there and perform. He's a sponsor's exemption into this event, and he wants to show that, hey, I belong out here. I can't just hang, but I can play.
Well, he definitely belongs out there. He's definitely got the game to play on the PGA Tour. And I know the round was 77, and I'm sure Ryan walked away from the day a bit disappointed. But, D, this is a sport that continually beats you up.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a sport where we rarely get wins. We rarely get positives. We rarely can walk away from experience saying, I did something very special. And for Ryan in this week, that first hole, eagling your first hole ever on the PGA Tour that you will ever do, this will be a memory you will have forever. Mm. And this will be a story that follows Ryan around for a long time. I will remember Ryan Alford when I think about people making eagles early in rounds. I'll think about Ryan when I'm playing with somebody that eagles the first hole. I mean, this will be the Alford now. From this point going forward, this is so special. It's so cool. It's such an accomplishment. And I hope, you know, no matter what Ryan does in the second round, make the cut, miss the cut, whatever, I hope he takes away from this that at some of my most nervous, at a moment that I could potentially be as uncomfortable as I could ever be on the golf course, I stepped up and I hit a golf shot that ended up being perfect. It was perfection, D. I mean, it was a really, really special thing to see. No matter the score, to me, it's a win for Ryan for the week.
Think about what a golf round entails, the ups and downs. He had it all on one hole, his first hole on the PGA Tour. And imagine the swing and emotions that he must have felt. You know, you hit that shot way to the left, and what his mind is saying and what his body is going through and what he's feeling. And then to come back and hit his second and dunk it, I mean, that's just – and what his body must have felt like. And we talk about the feels of this game and what it gives us. And you're right. Hopefully, wherever his career goes, he leans on that moment. And who knows what it means and what it portends for the rest of this week or the rest of this young man's career. But he will always be known for that. And what a great feather in his cap to have.
This week for Ryan was never about result. It was about experience. And this is an incredible experience. It is interesting. You know, I've played tournament golf, and I've been out there kind of in the ropes and on the PGA Tour. But I've been out there in some events. And occasionally when you hit an awful shot to start a round, it almost kind of locks you in.
Yeah.
At times you have to lock in because you kind of laugh it off. I mean, you know, you're hitting you almost hit it on the South course.
Right.
That tee shot on his first hole, and you're kind of walking down there going, this is how I'm going to start. And it at times can actually get you a little bit more focused because it's almost humorous. I mean, at times you're almost laughing at what you just did, and you go up there and you go, all right, I'm not going to make a six to start my PGA Tour career. Let's hit this on the green and try to make four. And then you hit a great shot and it goes in for a two. This, to me, it's the highlight of the week. I hope it's number one on the nine come Monday.
Yeah.
This will be a celebrated moment for Ryan Alford.
How many PGA Tour players and LPGA Tour players do we hear say, I bogeyed the first hole.
Right.
And it kind of freed me up.
Exactly.
You know, they almost want to get hit in the face like in a boxing match. You get that punch and you're not nervous anymore. You're wide awake now. And I think that sometimes that happens even to the best in the game. It settles them down and then they're able to play.
Eagle at the first.
Eagle at the first is.
Eagle the first hole you've ever played on the PGA Tour. How'd it go? How'd it go out there when they announced your name?
Made a two.
Double circle from 176. Oh. No joke at all. Got a tweet from Marty Fish, tennis player now, serious golfer. Said golf's better when Slick Rick is playing well. And D, I was on social last night saying something similar, and I continue to bring this up with Ricky Fowler because they're friends and they've been around our lives a lot. But last year, the Jordan Spieth experience, and I said this on social last night, following Jordan those first few months was as much fun as I've had watching golf in a long, long time. Seeing Jordan start to make moves and then what happened at the Waste Management. And then he would get close and wouldn't win, but it was still exciting to watch what's Jordan going to do. And he started to make some moves late on the weekend and he was struggling those final rounds and he finally gets the victory. But you had to go back in time to really see where it started for Jordan Spieth. Where were the moments where he'd shoot a final round well or he'd have a good week, maybe not quite a top 10. And I remember we talked about this with Ricky Fowler. Last year at the Valero, Ricky opened with 76 in the first round. Of course, that the week that Jordan won. It looked like it was going to be another bad week. He shoots 68, 69, 70, finished in the top 20. Gets the invite into the PGA Championship, if you remember.
Right.
And some people were wondering why he got the invite. I mean, this is not a major champion. This is not a guy that had won the PGA Championship. Ricky goes out there and finishes in the top 10.
Right.
And that was a very, very important week as well. Played well the next week. And then when Ricky starts to do those types of things and gets on those types of runs, played well at the Memorial, Ricky Fowler is the type of player that is, if you will, trending in the direction of having four good rounds. It might not be this week, D, but I at least feel like this could be the year we see Ricky get himself in contention and potentially pick up another PGA Tour victory.
And he's had to be so patient and answer a lot of questions almost every week, much like Jordan Spieth went through. I mean, this is someone who, when he won almost 3 years ago now, in Phoenix. You think about where he was, eighth in the world after that, and now in the hundreds. I mean, this is someone who makes more commercials than anybody in golf right now. And there's still, other than Tiger, you know, all-time great. I mean, Ricky Fowler is commercially successful, but you know that's not enough for him. And he's talked about the frustration that he had. I'll never forget the interview with Steve Burkowski last year, and he talked about bringing the work home and how unhappy it was. And I spoke to him at that PGA Championship. He's like, I'm working hard. I got to see the putts start to fall. We saw the putts fall. And how about 18 greens in regulation? I don't care how sunny and windless it is. That is impressive that he could be that much in control of his game, playing alongside Bryson DeChambeau, where the temptation is to swing out of your shoes. He said, I swung at 60% yesterday. I'm working on controlling my distances. Want to make sure my club is in the right spot. And right now, the club is in the right spot.
T3 at the CJ Cup last year for Ricky Fowler was a moment. This opening round with some of the big names he was playing with was a moment. Mm. And for Ricky Fowler, you mentioned the 18 greens and regulation. I mean, the iron play has been part of the problem for Ricky Fowler over the last couple of seasons, 2020, 2021, in terms of green regulation. He was 136th on tour. This season, 2021 into 2022, 156th on tour. Kind of going back to Ricky's prime, 15th. In greens of regulation back in 2016, 29th in GIR in 2018. Ricky Fowler has never been the most impressive iron player, but he was still a top 30 guy in that department, and obviously he's fallen off. Nice to see 18 greens.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody's got to buy you dinner when you do that.
Absolutely. If you think about what we missed about Jordan Spieth when he was struggling, and we remember Sip coming in on that weekend, and after seeing him basically take the game back into his hands and the roller coaster ride that we love with Jordan Spieth. For me, it's the putter for Ricky that I enjoy to watch, but also when he gets on a roll, he's someone who can take it deep and someone who can continue to make birdies in bunches. If you like this game and you like Ricky Fowler specifically, he is additive to it when he's playing well, beyond the commercials, you know, and it's a little bit of a dissonance when he is not playing well, but you see him on TV, you know, every hour, you know, whatever he's selling at the time. He wants to match that commercial success with success inside the ropes. I know it's been hard for him. I'm happy to see him back playing well. He's a son of Southern California. He'll have family and friends there, I'm sure, as the week wears on. A very good start for Ricky Fowler.
When Tiger was making his comeback, when he was starting to kind of make that comeback and starting to see, you know, positives, and we heard rumors about the Tiger Woods golf game, right? I mean, he's out there shooting worse balls, 65s and things like that. You know, the one thing that I think a lot of people forgot in the conversation about Tiger and the comeback was golf's gotten better.
Yeah.
The PGA Tour gets better every year. And for Ricky Fowler, the down years, if you will, the last couple of seasons for Ricky Fowler, the tour's gotten more polished, it's gotten deeper, it's gotten younger, and Ricky Fowler now has to battle Dustin Johnson.
Yeah.
And he's got to battle Justin Rose and Matt Kuchar and Bubba Watson. And now he's got to battle Sam Burns.
Yep.
And Colin Morikawa. And all of the rookies that are coming up. I mean, golf gets deeper and tougher to compete in, week out, year in and year out. For Ricky to see positives in one round, now let's see what he can do on Thursday. Get into the weekend in the top 10. Just find some, you know, something to talk about on Sunday night and when you're headed home, right?
Yeah.
Let's find something that we can talk about when Skov and I can be in the plane or be in the car and we can go, that was a good work week.
Yeah.
We don't have to have a trophy in the back of the car.
Right.
This was a good work week because we saw things that in 6 months we can lean on.
And can he stay true to what he wants to accomplish in terms of swinging in control in this era when so many people are chasing distance? And he says, I'm swinging at 60%. I want my club in position. Can he maintain that mentality in this era and alongside of Bryson DeChambeau? Did it for one round. Can he sustain that mentality for a month, for a season, for as long as is necessary for him to find his way back in the winner's circle? Because you've talked about the fact that he has shed distance, not purposefully, but that he has fallen behind in this era of big hitters.
For Ricky, the positives come in the results, sure, but the positives come in things like the greens and regulation.
Yeah.
Talk about Ryan Alford. I mean, a positive for the week is making eagle on your first hole of your PGA Tour career.
Right.
Doesn't really matter where you finish. You had a moment. You had a memory. You had something you'll forever remember about Torrey Pines. Hopefully, this is a stepping stone. This is building towards something. I don't think Ricky's going to go out and win this week. I hope he does.
Mm.
It'd be cool to see. I'm not exactly sure. I think a couple of weeks from now seems like it'd be more likely.
Ooh.
As we're getting closer and closer to Scottsdale and a place Ricky's played so well at throughout his career. But good building block and good step for Ricky Fowler on Wednesday.
Great golf in the Golden State. Great golf in the Sunshine State as well. Second leg of the LPGA Florida Swing is underway in Boca. We're talking about a marquee group of young stars to keep our eye on this afternoon when Golf Today returns.
We're back in a sentence we're probably going to say a lot in 2022. Nelly Korda defending this week. Think about the Gainbridge LPGA last season, 16 under, 272. Four rounds in the 60s. Take down Lexi and Lydia Ko by three shots.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you know, I guess Jessica won the season opening event last year. They joined the Sorenstam sisters back-to-back events. Victorious. If you look at the first round grouping.
Superstar grouping.
Just like on the PGA Tour. I mean, powerhouse groupings. You got Lexi, Lydia, and Nelly. Three big-time stars. 12:29 p.m. Eastern time.
These three have combined already in their short careers to win 34 times on the LPGA Tour. I mean, these are three of, what, five players that you circle each week, wondering what they're going to do, hoping they go out there and play well, understanding the superstardom that they bring to these events. Kind of three different questions about each player, in my opinion.
Fair.
Nelly, can you continue to do what you did last season? Lydia, will we see good Lydia at times like we did last season, or see Lydia, which looked at times like 2020 and 2019 Lydia? And then for Lexi, it's, of course, are you going to win? Are you going to get yourself a contention?
Yeah.
And can the putter take you to victory? I think those are the questions I'm really asking from these three players.
And I'm going to answer that last question and say, yes, I believe Lexi Thompson will win this season. I think she's going to win multiple times this season. I'm going to say that as tough and honest as we have been about the struggles that she's had. I think she should also be lauded for how remarkably consistent she has been atop the Rolex World Rankings. Hardly ever wavered outside that top 15. When you take a look at her career, been winning since 2011, 11 victories on the LPGA Tour. Even with the putting woes that she's had, and they really showed up in stark last season, she has been very, very consistent. She almost always finds her way into contention, into the conversation. I think in a young career, where she's 26 years of age, with 11 wins, she should be applauded for that consistency with the spotlight on her since she's been competing as a teenager.
Look, we're being positive.
I'm saying that, you know, sometimes we do bold predictions.
Yeah.
I think it'd be bold to say Lexi's going to win multiple times this season, but I'm saying
We're putting it on the show.
I think she's going to do it.
And if we're going to praise Lexi for the positives, we'll look at things that worked well. I mean, she's one of the best drivers in the world still on the LPGA Tour, and she led the LPGA Tour last season in greens and regulation. Something we were talking about with Ricky Fowler. The percentage was insane, by the way, for how often Lexi would find the surface. I'm with you.
Okay.
I think we're going to see Lexi win again.
Okay.
I think she's too talented not
to.
And I think, as we've seen throughout the season, there are tournaments where Lexi putts well enough to just run away from the field. I mean, I kind of thought we'd see that at the Pelican last year. I thought it was going to be a Lexi 4 or 5 shot victory, considering some of the stats early in that week. But you mentioned Rolex ranking. Mm. When you look at these three players and where they've been since the start of 2019, you see Nelly 23 in the world at the time. Now, of course, world number one. Lydia, back in January of 2019, 14th in the world. She's now third. God is high, if you will. It's 55th late in 2020. And then Lexi, the consistency, D, to your point, you see her there in the top 10 really until today.
Yeah, that's hard to do in professional golf. You see, of course, Lydia Ko was number one for 109 weeks from 2015 to 2017. That's also hard to do. I will say that the LPGA seems to me in a very good place, just in terms of the competitive nature. And there was a storyline, let's be honest, where are the American stars? I think we're seeing them now. We're hearing from them now. And of course, the Cordis sisters are carrying a lot of that spotlight. Daniel Kang, a winner again. And if Lexi does what I think she will, I think that that conversation will be put to bed, at least for a little while. I think it's healthy for the sport to have the Americans resurgent, to have Nelly Korda win a major championship, become number one, to win an Olympic gold medal, and to see if Jin Young Ko, which she did at the end of last year, can return serve, and to see if Lydia Ko can also get back to where she was not many years ago.
Talking Lydia, talking Lexi, talking Nelly. I mean, we're not talking Jessica, to your point, not talking MB. Still one of the best players in the world. And, of course, Jin Young Ko. We have Americans, and we have great Americans. But, you know, one of the great things about the LPGA Tour right now is how awesome it is to follow some of these international players.
Yeah.
Jin Young Ko, Leona Maguire, these players that are so interesting to watch play golf, but just such interesting people. They're fun to be fans of. They do so much stuff off the golf course that is entertaining and makes you want to follow along with their weeks and how they do on the golf course. I'm with you. The LPGA is right, like, at the top of golf for me right now, and it's at a place they haven't been in a long, long time, and I only see it kind of continuing up, up, up.
We love the LPGA. I mean, we love it. We talk about it. It should be highlighted. The purses are up. The talent is thick on the LPGA. I can't wait to see how this season unfolds.
See if Nelly can continue to win. Lexi's going to win 2 times at least.
Here
Damon
first.
Hack is predicted.
Golf Today. Time for this date in Tiger.
What you got for me?
History. How about 2008, Tiger wins the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines for the fourth consecutive year. How about that? Sixth time overall. The tie of PGA Tour record for most consecutive wins in a single event.
Is that a decent read?
I mean, this is amazing. 14 years ago today. Think he liked it? Man. Another trophy. A lot of San Diego trophies for Tiger Woods.
All right, so I mean, looking at the career of Tiger Woods, this is not Tiger's career.
Yes.
This is not a professional golfer's career. This is Tiger's career at one tournament at one golf.
Would be a great career. I mean,
would be
an
amazing career. The earnings he's had here, $7.17 million.
Ooh.
That's more than Ben Crenshaw and Matthew Fitzpatrick on the career earning list just at this event alone. Seven total wins, eight if you include the U.S. Open. And, D, there was a stretch from 2003 through 2008 at this event, the Farmers Insurance, where Tiger did not shoot an over par round.
Yes.
24 straight rounds. If you include the back end of 02 and the start of 2011, the next start for Tiger at this event, 28 straight rounds of not shooting something over par. You talk about dominance and consistency. Yeah, I mean, it was Tiger Torrey.
And I have a theory as to why.
I'm into this.
I do. So Tiger grew up in Cypress, California, Anaheim, Orange County, not too far, an hour and a half or so, depending on traffic. From San Diego and Torrey Pines, Tiger Woods grew up here. Nothing about Phil Mickelson from San Diego. I think Tiger loved going to Phil's backyard and busting him up and everybody else. And I honestly believe that when they were paired together, 2008 U.S. Open alongside Adam Scott, first and second rounds. He was paired famously the year that he was announced as the winner of like zillion events.
Yes.
And Phil was like, all right. They've had some moments there. At the old Buick and now the Farmers. And I think that Tiger loved going into his neck of the woods and absolutely saying, no, this is not your spot. This is my spot.
I'm the fan favorite. Most places we go, this is the week you get to be the fan favorite, Phil, until I leave with the trophy.
Couple of Pac-12 kids, couple of guys whose dads were in the military, uber confident. This was part of the rivalry. We saw them jousted Doral, and they had the Masters in 2001. But this was kind of a quieter theory. I'm from L.A., and, you know, this is kind of my theory. This is kind of down the list on accomplishments for Tiger. But I believe that if there was blood in the water and everybody's talking about Phil when you're growing up as a great junior golfer, what better way to send a message than to go into his zip code and doing some things?
We do this show a lot.
Yeah.
We got to come up with takes.
That's a take.
Occasionally, there are takes that we come up with. Occasionally, there are takes we believe. That is a unique Damon Hack take, and I am 100% into it. I love that.
And if you ask Tiger about that, you know what he would say?
Sure.
You're darn right.
Golf Today will return in just a minute. Going to look ahead at special event coming this weekend. Advocates PGA Tour gets set to take on Torrey over the weekend, both the North and the South. Of course, we'll chat about that next. Well, the story, in my opinion, Wednesday at Torrey Pines, Ryan Alford making his first ever start on the PGA Tour, very first hole, D, pulled out for eagle from 176 yards. How did you start playing on the PGA Tour? I made a two on a par four.
I mean, there are dream starts, and then there are dream starts. Something he'll never forget and something that we'll never forget, as you mentioned when we
calling it the Alford
show.
From now on. You eagle the first hole, you pulled an Alford. This in the first round as well. This the 10th. Kind of an up and down day for Ryan. This was a great approach after the hole out eagle.
Yeah, welcome to the PGA Tour. You're playing the South Course, one of the most difficult in creation. And I tell you what, he acquitted himself very nicely. Wonderful shot here, setting up a birdie putt. Oh, sookie now, rolls it in. Wants to test himself, measure himself, as some of the young players are doing on the Advocates Pro Golf Association Tour, founded in 2010 to prepare minority golfers for success at the highest levels of not just pro golf, but also the business side of the game as well. It's grown so much from 2010, from three events to 14 in the modern day time. And of course, the final round of the Farmers Insurance Invitational will be broadcast on golf at 5 p.m. Eastern time. We welcome in the CEO of the APGA Tour and the Advocates Foundation, Ken Bentley. Ken, great to spend some time with you. I want to start with that eagle from Ryan Alford on his first hole on the PGA Tour. What was your reaction?
Oh, it was awesome. And we were all fired up. Guys were texting everyone. And I'm out here at Torrey, and we were all going crazy. It was an amazing start for him, for an amazing young man, though. He's got a really bright future.
Ken, what does it mean to you in the APGA knowing that come Sunday, your tour, your golfers will be broadcasted to the world on national television?
You know, it's something that we dreamed about and that we hoped would come true, but to actually see it come true, it's amazing. I think the world will not only get a chance to see some really good golf, but they'll see the and hear the stories of these guys, the love and the passion that they have for the game, and kind of where they started to where they are today. So for us, it's an amazing opportunity, and our guys are just over the moon excited about the opportunity to, not only to play Torrey, but to be on live television. It's amazing. I got to thank Farmers and their CEO, Jeff Daly, who really kind of had this big vision for the APGA Tour, and to see it to come to fruition is just awesome.
Ken, the venues on the tour are so good now. What do you hope the players take away from this experience, playing Torrey in front of cameras?
Well, I think the big thing is that they're not that far. They'll see that they're not that far from the PGA Tour. And I constantly tell them they're really just one putt away. And I think they'll feel that, you know, even on Saturday when they'll walk the fairways and look over and see Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth and those guys. And I think they'll realize that they're really not that far. And they work hard now, but I think this will inspire them to work even harder. Because we have an unbelievable schedule, if you think about it, of the 17 events we're going to have in 2022, four on courses that host majors. We've got seven TPC courses. So we're really trying to put the guys in situations that they can feel like they're in a PGA Tour situation.
Ken, as you know, the tour was founded in 2010 to provide opportunities for African-American golfers and other minorities, but it's a diverse tour. How important is it to convey that message this weekend as well?
Well, you know, my philosophy is that the APGA Tour is all about making dreams come true. And so you'll see, you know, some great players like Willie Mack, but you also see Landon Lyons. And Landon Lyons is a great young man who won the tournament last year. But again, we're trying to make his dream come true. So the tour is mostly African-American and Hispanic, but we also welcome other players who just want an opportunity to realize their dreams.
Ken, what has the last year with movement and interest around the tour, enhanced media attention, what has this past year been like for you both personally and professionally?
Well, I think the big thing is that people return my phone calls now. When we first started this, I made a bunch of phone calls, and my wife talks about this, and very few were returned. But now, you know, my phone is constantly ringing, and I think people appreciate our tour. They appreciate the guys' stories. And, you know, it's really kind of going even beyond golf. When you see a guy like Kamaya Johnson, who the story's well told, but 13 years old, dropped out of school, and golf really saved his life. And Willie Mack, who was homeless. So I think America can really relate to these stories of these guys out there just pursuing their dreams.
Ken, I thought you said it so well. At the end of the day, it's a love story, and I'm so excited to be able to tell some of these stories come the weekend. Thanks for your time, and enjoy this weekend, pal. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, guys. I always appreciate it.